Thank you, Peter, for the reading, and thank you, Peter, for your prayer.
Do you want to... Bearing in mind that we're talking about school reports, I don't want naughty children sitting behind me pulling faces. Well, it's that time of the school year, isn't it? The school reports come out. And I don't know if your children's school reports have arrived yet. Lottie's has, because she broke up, seems like a month ago already, but it wasn't quite that long. And I asked her this morning how she feels when her school report comes. And she said, a little bit nervous, because I'm not quite sure what's going to be in it. I don't know about you, but I certainly remember my school report coming. It would come in a brown A4 envelope, and it would be placed reverentially on my father's desk at home, and it would sit there, sort of slightly reproachfully all day. And then when my father came home, he would get his glass of wine or whatever it was he had in the evening. He would perch his glasses on the end of his nose, and he would say, "Now, my boy, come and have a word with me." And I just remember that feeling of dread every at the end of every term. And some of the things that those reports said. English. The improvement in his handwriting has revealed his inability to spell. History. For this pupil, all ages are dark. RE, this boy does not need a scripture teacher, he needs a missionary. And these reports follow you through life, don't they? I mean, even now, at the end of every year, I have an appraisal, and, my boss writes comments about me, hopefully not quite as bad as those. There are some wonderful ones from army days as well, because again, in the army, every year you have a confidential report, and every time you go on a course of any description, they write a report on you. My father tells a great glee of a report which he received after a course that he'd been on. It said, "Lee will make a good fire officer under supervision." Terrifying thought. And a couple of other sort of possibly legendary ones from army days. "I would not breed from this officer." And "this officer should go far, and the sooner he starts, the better." And I sense that our reading today is a bit like that, isn't it? It's a school report on the church at Colossae. A little bit of background to the church in Colossae. Paul never actually went there. So it wasn't a church that he had founded. It was a church that we believe was actually founded by Epaphras, whose name comes up in the reading. And Epaphras would appear to have been somebody who was a convert of Paul's from the days he spent in Ephesus. And I'm sure you'll be able to tell me that that appears in Acts 19, verse 10. Which is a lovely verse. "Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months." Now, that's what I call a sermon. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that on you today. Promise. Colossae was past its prime. It had been a great sort of trading centre, and it had been bypassed. The routes had gone round it and moved on to other places. And the Christians there were beset by a lot of sort of influences of the time. The Gnostics were there, who claimed to have secret knowledge that was essential for salvation. There was a lot of Eastern mysticism and a lot of pagan worship. And so the church was struggling with all these influences that they were surrounded by. And so Epaphras, their teacher, their church leader, goes to Rome to see Paul, who, in this analogy, if you'll just work with me on the school report thing, Paul is going to be like the headmaster, isn't he? So you get your teacher, goes to the headmaster, tells the headmaster how you've done this term, and then the headmaster writes his bit on your report. And so this is what Paul and Epaphras together think of the performance of the church at Colossae. And he starts by underlining what they have. Again, remember back to your school reports. Lee has had an indifferent term, or a good term. He has achieved this. And then the report goes on later, as we'll see later in the lesson, to bring out the points, things that they need to work on. So what are they credited with having? Verses 4 and 5, if you've got the reading there, maybe you'd like to have a look at it. They have faith and love for all the saints, springing from the hope of salvation. And Paul stresses what they have, because it's an important thing, isn't it, to know what it is you've got. If you don't tell a child what it has achieved this term, it doesn't know whether its hard work has paid off. And it's also a useful reminder. If we know what we have, and if we've got a marker in the sand somehow that we can go back to if we later get lost. It's like, I don't know, Hansel and Gretel. You remember the story of the two children who are led into the woods, and they leave a trail of things so that they don't get lost. And if we've got that marker in the sand, if we've got a letter from Paul which says, you have faith, you have love, then we know that. And if we get lost later down the road, we can come back to that one point where we know we were grounded, we were rooted, we were in the right place. So it's an important thing that Paul does there. It may seem obvious that a church has faith, but it's important that they are affirmed in that. And that faith, remember, the definition of faith is total reliance on God in this case. Total reliance on God. And love for all the saints, that's all the other members of the other churches around the world. Just as we need love. What's that buzzing? Is that me? What am I doing? Oh, do I need to go to my telephone? Oh, that's confused things, because I've got my notes on my telephone. No, this isn't working. You didn't warn me this would happen. I thought it was only when the telephone rang. Can't see my notes now. Right, I'm going to have to find my place again there. I've lost it completely. Okay, and so the love and their hope stems from the salvation, the hope they have in their salvation. This is not working well. Is this going to work better if I stand at the lectern, Kev? Possibly. Let's put that one in my pocket and let's try the lectern mic. Is that better? Is that working? Can you hear me? Got to find my place again now. This isn't going well, is it? Okay, Paul then goes on to underline the fact that the gospel is worldwide. It is global, it is spreading. So they're in good company, which again would be very reassuring for them as a church under pressure to know that there are other churches out there in a similar position. Very, very important. And he also, in verse 7, he stresses Epaphras' qualifications. We haven't got it up on screen, but he says, you know, Epaphras, our dear, our fellow servant. It's nice to know that your teacher is teaching you the right stuff, isn't it? There we are. Well, you learnt it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. So their teacher is good. They're in good company with other people. So the fact that they're under pressure, that they've got all these other influences going on around them, is not something that should deter them. And then he moves on, rather as your school reports will have done, to tell them what they need to work on, what he wants for them going forward. And so if you look at verse 9, what is his prayer? His prayer is for spiritual wisdom
and understanding. Why do they need this? On to verse 10, so that they may have knowledge and live lives worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him. Very important that they do something with the faith, with the love that they have. We need to see the outworking of their faith, just as our faith must have its outworking in the mission field. And the mission field, as you remember, starts at the door, just there. And so what does all of this look like in verses 11 and 12? Paul and Epaphras want them to bear fruit. They want them to be strengthened. They want them to have endurance, patience, joyful thanksgiving, and a share in the inheritance of God. And joy particularly, I want to just underline in this list of things. Joy is crucial because the church now, just as it was then, is under pressure. And if we are not joyful when we're under pressure, then we will stop being effective witnesses for God. I'm sure you all know James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And that's what we all want, isn't it? We want to be mature. We want to be complete. We want to be effective for God. So joy is essential. It's not happiness. It's deeper than that. Happiness is dependent on external factors. Joy wells up inside you from a love of God, even when you're under pressure. The theologian C.F.D. Moule said, if joy is not rooted in the soil of suffering, it is shallow. If joy is not rooted in the soil of suffering, it is shallow. You look at churches in this country and compare them to churches elsewhere in the world, churches which are under pressure. Is it me or are the churches that are under pressure, the churches that are persecuted, are they more effective? I have a suspicion that they are. Maybe it's just the way the papers portray it, but I think they are. The need is much greater. And why should we do this? Why should the church at Colossae need the knowledge and the love of God, the wisdom? Because they have been rescued. They're rescued by Jesus, just as we have been. I think the summary of this message for me is that Paul wants the church at Colossae to move from salvation to sanctification. Salvation is the moment of being saved. That is a single step. Sanctification is a lifelong journey, which is doing the work of God. And that goes on forever, becoming more and more like the people he wants us to be. So it's that move from salvation to sanctification. And with sanctification, you've got to keep moving. There was an interview published in the paper yesterday with the Archbishop, Justin Welby. And the interviewer put it to him that the church is good at talking, but is not actually doing things to improve the social order. The church is good at talking, but is not actually doing things to improve the social order. I don't know what your view on that particular challenge might be. But according to the paper, rubbish, shouted the Archbishop genially. The church is one of the most powerful forces of social cohesion. Did you know that each month, all the churches, roughly half of the numbers being Anglican, contribute 23 million hours of voluntary work outside of what they're doing in church, and it's growing. There are now between 1,200 and 2,000 food banks in which the church is involved. 10 years ago, there were none. There are vicars living in every impoverished area in the country. And this springs out of genuine spirituality, he said. We are not just rotary with a pointy roof, which I love the thought of. We're not just rotary with a pointy roof. In his letter to the Corinthians, the second letter to Corinthians, chapter 3, Paul's talking about letters of introduction, letters of recommendation, which were like a character reference that somebody might give to somebody that they were meeting. So Epaphras, for example, might have taken a letter of recommendation to Colossae when he was looking to set up the church there. And Paul says this of the Corinthians, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter of Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human heart. Are we letters of Christ? As we head into the summer holidays, traditionally a fairly quiet time, a lot of the home groups don't meet, and the weekly services here are more sparsely attended as people go off on holiday. But as we head into the holidays, maybe ask yourself, what does our report say? As a church or as individuals? Does your report say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or is your report more like one of my school reports, or probably more than one of my school reports, which normally said, could do better? Amen.